Hello, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On track one, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from current research data, the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Distance Education Program, and his clinical experience. On track two, he will be joined by Tracy Holly on He Said, She Said for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track three features an interview with our special guest who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Now, here is Corey Holly and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, July 2004. Last month, I discussed the importance of body composition assessment and its application in clinical sports nutrition and health analysis. Body composition assessment can detect trends in the loss of functional lean mass and the accumulation of body fat. The results can be used to determine how much filtered water we should drink every day, as well as provide guidelines for daily protein consumption. Both water and protein intake should be based on lean mass as opposed to total body weight. Body composition assessment is the logical and superior alternative to measurement of weight only, or even the calculation of body mass index, or BMI. On this edition of Clinical Review, I'd like to look at sports injuries in general and focus on some of their main causes. Sports injuries include a wide variety of soft tissue, skeletal, and joint-related injuries associated with physical exercise, sporting events, and various athletic activities. These are commonly described as strains, sprains, dislocations, fractures, lacerations, cuts, abrasions, blisters, bruising, inflammation, hernia, and pain. More than 20% of all reported accidents are sports-related. Approximately 38% of high school teenagers and 34% of middle school children will sustain a physical activity-related injury. And of these injuries, about 50% will occur as a result of overuse-type mechanisms. Outside of direct impact injuries, additional symptoms may include delayed onset muscle soreness, the acronym of which is DOMS, D-O-M-S, muscle cramps or stitches, exercise-induced asthma, upper respiratory tract infection, compromised immune function, and increased susceptibility to a range of different cancers, cataracts, and even premature aging. The degree of impairment or tissue damage caused by sport-related activity greatly depends on the athlete's present state of health and physical condition. Other variables include training frequency, training intensity, quality of diet, and sport specificity. Let's talk about strains and sprains. The difference between a strain and a sprain is one of intensity and location. A strain describes the change that occurs in the shape of a muscle or soft tissue when acted upon by external forces or resistance, such as a throwing movement. A strained muscle is an overstretched muscle and may cause inflammation and pain. A sprain is specific to ligament injury. Ligaments are tough, fibrous bands of connective tissue that attach bones together. A sprain occurs when a joint is carried through a greater than normal range of motion, but without dislocation or fracture. Sprains often involve the wrenching or twisting of a joint with partial rupture to its attachments. Damage to supporting blood vessels, muscles, tendons, ligaments, or nerves may be extensive. Considerable swelling and pain due to hemorrhaging from ruptured blood vessels often causes partial or complete immobility. The ankle, lower back, and knee are particularly vulnerable to sprains. Other kinds of injuries are things like bruises or contusions. They're caused by ruptured blood vessels under the skin. After impact, blood seeps into the surrounding tissue, causing the familiar black and blue coloration. A dislocation occurs when the end of a bone is pulled or pushed out of its normal position. A fracture indicates a broken bone. A stress fracture is a weak spot or a small crack in the bone matrix. Lacerations describe a minor or major cut in the skin. Severe bleeding requires immediate first aid attention, whereas minor cuts stop bleeding on their own and once cleaned, sterilized, and covered, usually do not prevent the athlete from resuming play. Scrapes and abrasions are common to many contact sports. Cleaning is necessary to prevent infection and scarring. Hernias occur when abdominal tissue bulges through a weak spot in the abdominal wall in the groin area. These are more common in men and are associated with heavy lifting and strenuous exercise. The so-called weak spot is often a function of poor nutrition and indicates weakness in surrounding collagen, membrane, and capillary support. Pressure from within must be high, but a strong elastic outer mesh and framework must be present to prevent the underlying tissue from breaking through. Such tissue requires reinforcement with ascorbate, vitamin E, the essential fatty acids, minerals, trace elements, and multiple sources of plant flavonoids. Now, cramping is very common in sport. The most common cause of cramping is simple dehydration. After that, electrolyte loss and insufficient mineral intake is a strong correlate. To optimize body hydration, drink 30 milliliters or 1 ounce of clean filtered water per kilogram of lean body mass daily. Not total body weight, lean body weight, lean body mass. This quantity is based on the logic of how much cellular space you have to fill with water. Medical science teaches that an optimum percentage of body water is 65 up to 70%. Muscle cells hold up to 75% water, whereas fat cells max out at 15 to 20%. Even the bones have more water than a fat cell, provided they're healthy and well-nourished. We also know that athletic performance and risk of sports injury increases as percentage of body water decreases, which is why all fitness athletes should consume 1 to 2 liters of water during workouts to compensate for fluid loss. This amount is in addition to the 30 milliliters per kilogram of lean mass standard. I recommend adding an electrolyte, calcium ascorbate, carbohydrate mix to your workout water bottle. Look for a mix that contains potassium, sodium, calcium, magnesium, chromium, manganese, and selenium, even zinc. Ideal potassium-sodium ratio is 7 to 1 in favor of potassium, which is the same ratio found in all natural foods when calculated as an average. That's right. When you calculate the quantity of potassium and sodium from food all over the planet, from both land and sea, food from nature is always dominated by potassium. There's not one food from nature that has more sodium than potassium. And that average, as a national average or as a global average, is 7 times more potassium to sodium. For maximum absorption of the water, the carbohydrate percentage in the water should not exceed 8% when added to the water. So be careful not to add too many carbohydrates. Sip on the water during the workouts and knock it back after a hard run or a hike, and replenish the body with water and electrolytes. Remember, when you sweat, you don't just lose water, you lose electrolytes, and symptoms of deficiency or insufficient provision are cramping and fatigue and even disordered eating. Now let's look at stitches. Stitches are referred to in science as exercise-related transient abdominal pain. The acronym is ETAP or ETAP. In the ischemic pain theory, stitch arises when blood flow to the diaphragm or other respiratory muscles is compromised by diversion of blood to the gut for digestion or to the muscles for exercise. The ligamentous pain theory proposes that stitch arises from tugging of the gut on ligaments connecting the gut to the diaphragm. This notion is reinforced by the observation of increased frequency of stitch in motion after the gut is loaded with fluid sufficient to fill it. A third explanation associates ETAP with irritation of the parietal peritoneum, suggesting that stitch is a form of exertional peritonitis, which is a form of inflammation. Internal damage to muscle filaments, joints, and surrounding soft tissue, instigated through sport and strenuous training, can cause muscles to feel extremely stiff and sore for up to 72 hours or longer after engagement. Many still believe that lactic acid, a byproduct of anaerobic metabolism and referred to as a waste product, is the culprit. But not so. We now know that lactic acid is neither wasted nor excreted by the body, and that superoxide free radicals, hydroperoxides, hydroxyl radicals, and excess ammonia are responsible for causing delayed onset muscle soreness or DOMS. Besides taking a wide assortment of antioxidants from both food and supplements, DOMS and related forms of muscle fiber and membrane microdamage can also be modified by consistent training, which improves endogenous antioxidant and enzyme response through adaptation. In other words, if you keep training and stay true to the form, your body will adapt and start building more of its own antioxidants and enzymes to help cope with the stress of training. Muscle soreness and stiffness can also be countered by improving hydration, warming up prior to workouts, sauna and hydrotherapy, routine massage therapy, electromembrane microcurrent therapy, also known as mild electrical stimulation, hyperbaric oxygen treatment, and stretching. All of these techniques and ideas can help minimize the stiffness and soreness that a lot of people struggle with. I think the key issue is just training on a regular basis and focusing on excellent nutrition. Now let's talk about some of the common causes of sports injuries. Prevention of sport injury is based on knowledge of etiological factors that contribute to increased injury risk. Etiology relates to the cause or origin of a disease or disorder as determined by medical diagnosis. Risk factors for sports injuries can be grouped into intrinsic and extrinsic related factors. Intrinsic factors have been defined as individual biological, biomechanical, and psychosocial characteristics predisposing a person to the outcome of an injury. Extrinsic risk factors are independent of the injured person and are related to the type of activity during the incident of injury and the manner in which the sport is practiced. So an intrinsic factor might be genetics or nutrition. An extrinsic factor as a risk might be the environment that you're playing in that day, or something like the barometric pressure or the temperature. Now, joint injuries and muscle tears or strains are very common in the gym. I see guys and women all the time with wraps around their elbows and wrists, rotator cuff damage, spine, ankles, lower back, you name it. Primary causes of these kinds of injuries common in the gym: number one, poor exercise technique. Two, constant heavy lifting without any variation. Three, poor nutrition. Insufficient micronutrient intake, meaning an insufficient amount of vitamins and minerals and enzymes. You're not supplying the biological demand. The body becomes drained, the organ reserve depleted, the organism, in this case the human, becomes susceptible to damage because of the stress of training and because the supply is not equal to the demand. Four, insufficient sleep. You don't sleep, you don't grow, you don't recover. Sleep deprivation is huge in our society. A lot of injury is caused by that alone. Five, drug abuse, including prescription drugs. You party a lot, you consume a lot of drugs, you're getting out there, you're pushing the envelope. Believe it or not, the most damage of all is caused by the drugs you're getting from the physician and the ones you're buying in the drugstore. Not the so-called illicit drugs. Maybe the alcohol and the tobacco, they can cause a lot of damage. But be careful about NSAIDs and pain medication, because when you're hurting and you're taking anti-inflammatories, they ruin the immune system, on a long-term basis. Short-term, they might be essential to modify the pain, because pain can cause a lot of damage, and obviously we need to understand the cause of the pain inside the body. Number 6 is poor flexibility due to a lack of stretching. 7, training the same body part too frequently. 8, inadequate warm-up. 9, internal heavy metals and toxicants. Chelation therapy and blood chemistry analysis, and just overall getting in tune with your body. But be aware that there's stuff inside the body that can often be stored in body fat. If you've got excess body fat, you're like a walking time bomb, because most of the toxins in our environment are fat soluble. And the more fat you got in your body, the more toxins you can store. And when you start training, they'll start coming out. Number 10, insufficient antioxidant support. Vitamin E and C are the two big ones. Proanthocyanidins, zinc, selenium, N-acetylcysteine. These are just some of the many antioxidants that you need to get in your diet through food, whole, fresh, organic food, and take them as supplements. The science dictates that that's the wise thing to do, the intelligent choice. Number 11, overtraining, overreaching. That's a concern that really doesn't really enter into the mindset of most people who aren't training at all, or who are having troubles getting into the gym and performing the activity that they know they need to do. But for those of you that are committed and you're injured, make sure that you're not overtraining a certain muscle or overusing a certain exercise without some variation. And 12, an acid-dominant diet. The average diet in Canada is 80% acid, 20% alkaline. It should be 60% alkaline, meaning we need to eat lots of green plants, raw vegetables, fresh fruit, freshly squeezed juices, a lot of water, and then undercooked, or what I call wet proteins. Don't eat dry, overcooked animal flesh. And of course, watch the grains, the bread, the bagels, the toast, because the grains and the overcooked animal proteins are extremely acid-forming, and they will liberate from your joints and from your vital organs alkaline minerals to balance that acid, and eventually over time, your joints and vital organs will become susceptible to damage. Now, many injuries are caused by the simple failure to engage in proper exercise or training technique. Execution fundamentals are frequently ignored or not applied because of ignorance. A qualified personal trainer is recommended, not only during the initial integration period, but throughout the individual's personal learning curve, as bad habits picked up in the absence of adequate supervision may inadvertently lead to problems. Along with poor exercise technique, many injuries are also caused by inflexibility due to a lack of proper stretching during and especially after training. Stretching helps prevent injury and actually enhances performance, including strength, by improving flexibility. Stretching muscle induces a state of relaxation, which reduces motor nerve excitability. This encourages pain reduction. Stretching techniques known to improve flexibility include static stretching or slow movement, proprioceptive neuromuscular facilitation, also known as PNF, and several forms of yoga. Ballistic or bouncing type stretching poses a high risk for connective tissue injury and therefore is not generally recommended. Move with a slow, easy pace in your stretching. Breathe out through your nose. Actually, we're nose breathers, and so if we want to take a deep breath in through the mouth and then breathe slowly out through the nose as you're moving into the stretch and holding the stretch up to 30 seconds. The stretching component of the workout should be meditative and bring your workout to an end. Most sports injuries are preventable. Periodized training protocols make allowance for strenuous training regimes by advocating a cycling approach that varies training intensity, exercises, sets, and repetitions. This technique, combined with cross-training, helps protect the athlete from overtraining syndromes. Cross-training refers to the inclusion of alternate methods of exercise, such as swimming or inline skating, for example, instead of running alone. Persistent muscle pain, insomnia, irritability, fatigue, depression, and frequent colds or infection may indicate either overtraining or inadequate nutrition. Damage increases with poor nutrition, as an insufficient supply of micronutrients compromises tissue strength and training adaptability on a cellular level. Collagen tensile strength is dependent on circulating ascorbate, and the tenacity of tendons and ligaments is relative to the ingestion of several mineral elements, including zinc, iron, vanadium, and manganese. Inadequate rest and sleep deprivation also increase susceptibility to injury, as fatigue weakens the body and the immune system. Sleep and rest are essential to cerebral regeneration and restoration of the mind. If the primary center that controls coordination, motor dexterity, and neurocognitive function is compromised, the athlete may collide with opponents or stationary obstacles which might otherwise be avoided. So sleep affects gait and neurological balance. As athletes, our requirements for biological support are greater during injury and stress due to increased free radical pathology, not less. The immune system, in particular, requires an immense amount of support and nourishment. DHEA levels, for example, are almost always below normal as a consequence of injury stress, adrenal exhaustion, and prolonged cortisol release. So again, be mindful of supplying that biological demand. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. In the next edition, we'll look at natural remedies for sports injuries and a variety of treatment protocols. Thanks for listening, and here's a quote from Dr. Fred Hatfield, author of Hardcore Bodybuilding, A Scientific Approach. All progress must be gradual. Dedicate yourself to the health of your body as much as to the performance of your sport.